It's 13 February, Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Prophecy Report. Alien invasion. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, first things first. The Superior Word website has been hacked. A lot of people emailed me about this. This happened before. You know, we got such a large site. We've got literally thousands and thousands of pages on that site. And because of that, it's a very good site to hack, because it doesn't matter where you go to do a search for something, you will always end up in some Chinese sales place or whatever. And so they do this. They've done it before. They've done it again. If you want to go to the Superior Word website, do not type in Superior Word and do a search. You want to type in superiorword.org, and it'll take you directly to the Superior Word site. If you don't do that, you're going to get somebody in China, and they're making money off of you every time you click on it. So no Superior Word general search. Go to superiorword.org, and you can see anything on the site, and eventually we will get this figured out. It may be that we have to do what we did before and completely delete the site and re-upload it, and that takes forever. We might have to get a new server. We moved from one server, I think GoDaddy or something, to Amazon. Same problem. So here we go again. It's a lot of work, and I've got some folks that are working on it, but that's all I can tell you is if you go there and you see that it's hacked, we know. Okay, then we have a visitor today. Amy Young came all the way from Bradenton, which, as I was telling her, most of the people here come from Bradenton. It's surprising the number of people that come south to come to this church. Very few come from the south, north, to come to this church, but most, for some reason, kind of gravitate from there. And she saw us on a Sergio and Rhoda video, and she said, I think that's Sarasota. So she decided to come down and visit us, and I told her that Sergio and Rhoda will be here today. And so she gets to spend some time with them. They're not here now, though, because they were traveling for the past 4 days, and they've been in Kentucky. And because of that, they got back last night. And I don't understand why he's not here on time, though. He said he got 9 hours and 45 minutes of sleep. I haven't got that much sleep in like 20 years or more. Maybe when I was sick. I don't know. But he can't show up on time. So when he gets here, you all can beat him with wet noodles. And then once again, we have the Kota family who are visiting. They've been here. This is their third visit. And they're here once again enjoying a visit here because they want to come down and see, not us, they want to see Sergio and Rhoda. And so, so anyway, there you go with that. They're here, and welcome to all of you as well. All right, we got some news from Israel today. From the Times of Israel, Israel signs a security memorandum. This was late last week with Bahrain. It's second with an Arab nation. So not only have they got these ties with these nations, but now they have memorandums. And what that means is memorandum can say anything, but it's an agreement. And people got upset at George Bush, some people in my family, actually. Oh, he never should have gone in and got us into that Iraq war. I'm sorry. We had a memorandum of understanding with the nation of Kuwait. And if we did not go in and do what we did, we would be reneging on a treaty between those people. And so it doesn't matter if you like it or not. If you've made an agreement, you stick by your agreement. Okay? And so that's what they're doing. They're making a agreement between these nations now. It's not just that they have, traded embassies and stuff, but they now have agreements. And I don't know what the substance of it is, but Defense Minister Gantz signed a memorandum of understanding with his Bahraini counterpart, formalizing the security relationship after the Gulf country normalized ties with Israel a year and a half ago. So this is another step in solidifying their life together as countries. So there you go with that. Times of Israel. Gantz's Bahrain visit signals to Iran the alliance against it is growing and it is public. The signing of a security memorandum of understanding between Israel and Bahrain comes amid growing threats from Iran against the two countries, not just Israel. It's, the Persians and the Arabs just don't get along all the time. So, and as the U.S. shifts its focus away from the region and toward the brewing conflict between Russia and Ukraine, Though the U.S. remains an active player in the Middle East, countries in the region understand that Washington, for the time being, has its interests elsewhere and must work together more against Tehran. Now, before I go on, everybody's all bent out of shape over what's going on between Russia and Ukraine. Nobody seems to remember this. I mean, if you ask somebody, and it's like you get this deer in the headlights look, but this is the same thing that went on when Obama was in office. Yeah. Remember that? Does anybody remember that? Yeah. So, yes, they may attack tomorrow. Ukraine, too. You know, yeah, over the Crimea. That's right. But, you know, the whole point is, though, that this is something that they have been using as a diversion of all their incompetence in the government. Okay, and they've got their own deals going, and they're communists, Obama and Biden and all of their administrations. Now, I'm not saying there's not going to be a war. I have no idea. But this is the same diversion that we had before. And it's taking eyes off of the Middle East, and Israel's got to do something, so here we go. We must strengthen the moderate camp together more against Tehran. And there is such a thing, Gantz said after signing the MOU. Our formal relations allow us to come in and work together against shared threats. We are only in our first year of the Abraham Accords. In the coming decade, there will be significant developments. Well, you can bet on that. Israeli officials believe that formal ties with Saudi Arabia and other Arab countries in the region are at this point a matter of time, as those countries see the benefits of cooperation with Jerusalem that are now being enjoyed by the others that have normalized ties with Israel. The UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, Sudan, Egypt, and Jordan all have normalized with Israel. Okay, so Gantz's trip was a clear signal to Iran of this growing alliance against it. With the defense minister's Air Force plane flying through Saudi Arabian airspace in order to reach Manama, just 120 miles from Iran's coast. So Saudi Arabia's been allowing not just commercial flights to go over them, but now the defense minister himself flew over Saudi Arabia in order to get to Manama. This is interesting, and it's important things that are going on right now. So we'll keep our eyes on them. From Israel Hayom, Erdogan says Turkey, Israel can jointly bring gas to Europe. Something that wasn't, I talked about that a week or two ago, and it wasn't even on the table. Now Turkey is saying this is something we can do. Okay, I wouldn't trust this snake at all, but he's saying that they can work together. Turkey and Israel can work together to carry natural gas from Israel to Europe, and the two countries will discuss energy cooperation during talks next month. Erdogan was cited as saying, Turkey has been working to mend its strained regional ties with Israel and other nations as a part of a charm offensive launched in 2020. In an apparent easing after years of animosity, Erdogan said that President Herzog will visit Turkey in mid-March. Speaking to reporters on a return flight from Kiev, Erdogan said energy cooperation would be on the agenda during Herzog's visit, and added Ankara was also in talks on signing a natural gas supply deal with Iraq, according to Turkish media. So, once again, I would not trust him, but he keeps doing these things. He gets angry at Israel. He says terrible things. And all of a sudden, he wants to be their best friend. And you never know. He's a loose cannon kind of. So I wouldn't trust him. From Arat Shiva. Now, I have a longer article to read you, but I'm just going to give you a synopsis because she's so gross. Whoopi Goldberg's 1993 recipe mocking Jewish women resurfaces. Last week, we talked about Whoopi and what she did. Well, here we go. A 1993 recipe by Whoopi Goldberg in which she makes fun of Jewish women has resurfaced. And it was terrible, the things she was saying. It was just belittling them and, you know, saying how cheap they are and all these kind of things in the recipe. Well, that's come up again. At the time, DADL called the recipe insulting and anti-Semitic. Here we go. Responding to the outrage, Brad Carafelli, who was Whoopi's agent at the time, said, maybe critics are not aware that Whoopi is Jewish, which she's not, but he said that. So she is certainly not anti-Semitic. So not only is she an anti-Semite, but she's also a cultural appropriator, okay? And she is a liar. So as far as I'm concerned, they can do whatever they want with her. You know, we got too much woke and too many people being fired for this or that. But if you were going to set a precedent by getting rid of some people, you need to get rid of people like her as well. That's what I think. It won't happen because she's an anti-Semite, a cultural appropriator and a liar. And that fits in well with the people she hangs with. Anyway, from the Times of Israel, Netanyahu. Last week I said that maybe Netanyahu was involved in the NOS spy scandal. Okay. It appears that it was the opposite. Okay, we still don't have all the information. Different things are coming up, but Netanyahu rails against cops over spyware claims. He likens to the IDF bombing Israeli civilians. And so now it's kind of on the other foot, is that he was a target by these people. But it's very hard to tell what's going on. Different articles have come up, and I want to give both sides, so we'll see where this goes with it. But there will be people that are going to be in trouble over what has happened with this internal spying of people that were under no indictments. They were just people doing their things, and the government of Israel was spying on them. So we'll continue to track that. We have some news from Christianity here today. From the Epic Times, Michigan high school student sues school for suspending him for privately talking about Christian beliefs. Privately talking, and they suspended him. The case arose when Plainwell High School student David Stout was suspended for 3 days for expressing his Christian beliefs and opinions in a private conversation with a like-minded student on school property and in private text messages outside of school with friends. In his conversations and text messages, Stout put forth the biblical teaching of the love of God through Christ for sinners and expressed his own love for his peers. He shared the Judeo-Christian doctrine that homosexual conduct was a sin and that God created only two biological genders, men and women. Before being suspended, Stout alleges he was asked by a faculty member why he had not self-reported his sharing of religious and political beliefs with fellow students to school officials.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah. Stout also alleges he was told that talking about religious or political beliefs was not allowed anywhere on campus for fear of hurting someone's feelings. He alleges the faculty member told him that he must stop all religious conversations with other students because if overheard, they might feel offended and unsafe. Stout said the whole thing seemed to him to be a one-sided method to shame, intimidate, and silence conservatives and Christians. The superintendent of Plainwell Public Schools did not respond to a request for comment. Of course he didn't. The complaint, which was filed on January 27th in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Michigan, states that the school's principal and assistant principal allegedly explained to Stout that it was a student's responsibility not only to stop hurtful comments and behaviors, but to preempt such conduct. Stout said that the administrators warned him that anything he did or said in school, outside of school, or on social media could negatively affect his future employment prospects, a statement that Stout alleges was a threat. On October 25th, 2021, Stout's parents received notice that their son had been suspended. Stout asked the court for a declaratory, my mother just walked in, a little bit late today, asked for a declaratory judgment that the Plainwell School District violated his First and 14th Amendment rights and his civil rights under the Michigan Constitution and other state statutes. He is asking his suspension be expunged from his school record and is seeking compensatory and or nominal damages, costs, and attorney fees. So I hope he wins this. I hope he just cranes them. It's good to have you here, Mom. Love you. Okay, from Breitbart, Pope Francis. Taxation is an important tool for wealth redistribution. This guy is just a commie through and through, and he just keeps saying things, proving his little commie background. Pope Francis met with a delegation from Italy's Internal Revenue Service. Why would anybody want to meet with the Internal Revenue Service of any country on this planet? Praising them for their work and holding up taxation as a necessary tool for redistribution. Modern tax collectors are often looked upon with suspicion, just as they were in the times of Jesus. So he's trying to make a parallel between a chosen apostle and the tax collectors in Italy today. This guy's just insane, the pontiff said, but they provide an essential service to the common good by redistributing wealth. A certain culture of suspicion can, unfortunately, extend to those who enforce the laws. Well, no kidding. After what we've seen in Washington and Canada and all around the world lately, I'd have some suspicion, too. Ooh, I can't say that. I'm going to be on the list now. Dang it. Oh, well. Yeah, too late. Yes, this is a fundamental task because legality protects everyone and is a guarantee of equality. Laws make it possible to maintain a principle of fairness where the logic of interests generates inequalities. Legality in the fiscal area is a way to balance social relations, removing forces from corruption, injustice, and equality. But this requires some education and cultural change. As is often said, people often see the tax system as reaching its hands into their pockets. In reality, he declared, taxation is a sign of legality and justice. It must promote the redistribution of wealth, protecting the dignity of the poor and the least, who always risk being crushed by the powerful. Before we go on, I will say this. Several of you go with me every Saturday. We are in the projects every single weekend of our life. Every Saturday, we're down there. And the one thing that the government does with the money they have control over is take away the dignity of the people. It gives no dignity. Anybody that thinks that the government gives people dignity is delusional, is a fool. They take away dignity from every person that they interact with.
They take that away, then the money.
Then the money, that's right. They take away the dignity and then they take away the money. So there's nothing left at the end of the month for those people anyway. They have nothing. But they know they're going to get something next month, and so they just keep living out this cycle. Very sad. So he says, let us work to increase the culture of the common good so that the universal destination of goods is taken seriously. The man is a fool. He's just a fool. Okay, we got some news. You know, before I go on, I meant to mention this and I forgot, is that we have Silas over in Kenya. A lot of people have given to him over the years, and he takes care of, you know, lots and lots of people. What do you call them? Widows and children that need to be fed. He has food lines and everything. Right now, he wants to build a building, school building from scratch for the children. He gave me a list of all the things that he wants to do, and I wrote it down, but I didn't include it, and I apologize. But he needs $8,000. I think it's $8,300 or something like that. But he needs this in order to get this building going for these children and a school and stuff. So just so you know, if you want to give, you can email me and I will tell you how you can get in contact with him and help him out. Wonderful guy in Kenya. We've been helping him out for years and years and years. And so he's just a very good guy. So if you want to be able to help with that next initiative of his, please let me know. We got Isaac in Uganda, who many people also know, and we've got Silas in Kenya. Silas is a pastor. Isaac is not. Isaac is just a guy that decided he is going to take on the whole world by himself, and he does. He's amazing in what he does in Uganda. He's always got a fire burning. He's always getting himself sick from being run down, and then what happens? He gets himself better, and he runs himself down again the next month. He's tireless. Well, Silas over in Kenya is a pastor, and so pastors aren't tireless. We get away with mostly golfing and stuff. So if you believe that, I got something else to tell you later. But anyway, he's a great guy. If you want to help with that, please let me know. Or just if you know him personally, just send him an email and say, I want to help. Okay, we got some news from the Middle East and Africa today. Mail online. Biden removes some Iran sanctions. I mentioned this last week. I just wanted to read it to you. Imposed by Trump, including unfreezing $29 billion in bank accounts overseas in bid to return Obama-era deal that three negotiators have resigned over. So I mentioned that last week, and immediately after that happened, Times of Israel, Iran, U.S. waiving sanctions, $29 billion on Tehran's civil atomic program is good, but not enough. It will never be enough. He never should have opened any door for these people. They were at the end of their life expectancy as far as finances were concerned, and now they have so much money that they can build all the nukes they want, they can do all the little terrorist things that they want, blowing people up all over the Middle East, because the person in the White House right now is not only incompetent, but he is purposefully bringing destruction to the people of the Middle East. Times of Israel. Waived Iran sanctions allow redesign of Fordo plant, cooperation with Russia and China. Of course. So now China and Russia are involved and he's in their back pocket. So it's exactly what the commie wants. The U.S. decision to ease sanctions on Iran includes six clauses that now allow foreign countries, we won't be a part of it, but and companies from Russia, China, and Europe to cooperate with non-military parts of Iran's nuclear program. According to a State Department notice cited by Reuters and the Haaretz Daily, the clauses included permitting the modification of Iran's Fordo facility to become a research center for the production of stable radioactive isotopes used for medical purposes with Russia. Reports said Britain and China can now help Iran redesign its Arak heavy water reactor to a light water reactor. A light water reactor, like the one Iran has at Bushehr, is used to generate electricity. As originally designed, the reactor at Arak could have produced substantial amounts of plutonium material that can be used as fissile core of a nuclear weapon. The waiver also allows the Russian supply of nuclear fuel to the Tehran Research Reactor and Bushehr Nuclear Power Plant, as well as the export of excess heavy water if Iran exceeds the 130 metric tons limit under the 2015 agreement. Well, they violated every other portion of the agreement that they are under, so who cares if they go over the 130 tons of heavy water? Nobody will say anything and nobody will do anything because they've done nothing all along. One man did, and he's been maligned for it ever since. Heavy water contains high concentrations of the hydrogen isotope deuterium and is used to produce plutonium, an alternative to uranium for making atomic weapons. Lastly, the reports said the sanctions relief allows Iran to use yellowcake from Russia, a precursor to enriched uranium. Yellowcake is produced by mining uranium ore from rocks and separating the uranium from the rocks by bathing them in acid. The yellowcake can then be converted, enriched to raise its purity, and then used for weapons or energy production. Oh, we're going to use it for energy production. Yeah, I got that.
Nukes create energy at some point.
Yeah, nukes do create energy at some point. Well, they produce. I don't like to use the word create because God creates, but they do produce. Okay, AP, Macron's government seeks to reshape Islam in France. Yeah, that's going to work out well. The French government introduced a new body to reshape Islam in France, part of Macron's efforts to rid it of extremism. The Forum of Islam in France leadership will be made up of clergy and lay people to help guide the largest Muslim community in Western Europe. All of its members will be handpicked by the government, and women will make up at least a quarter of them, with France bloodied by past Islamic extremist attacks and having hundreds of citizens who went to fight with jihadists in Syria in past years. Few disagree that radicalization is a danger. But critics also see the efforts as a political ploy to lure right-wing voters to Macron's centrist party ahead of France's April 10 presidential elections. Supporters say it will keep the country and its 5 million Muslims safe and ensure that Muslim practices in France adhere to the country's cherished value of secularism in public life. That's going to work out well. I can tell you that right now. Yet critics, including many Muslims who consider the religion a part of their French identity, said the government's latest initiative is another step in institutionalized discrimination that holds the whole community responsible for violent attacks of a few and serves as another barrier in their public lives. Well, we read week after week, well, we have in the past, last year and the year before especially, again and again, people being stabbed to death in the streets of Paris or people being exploded in the buildings of Paris. And it's always somebody with a Middle Eastern name. I mean, you don't see anybody like Jacques Chirac blowing up any buildings. But, okay, now something interesting from Mongolia. From the National Guard, our National Guard. Alaska National Guard, Mongolia conduct SPP expert exchange. The Alaska National Guard participated in the second iteration of the Airman to Airman Talks program with the Mongolian Air Force to plan for future training and subject matter expert exchanges. The program has paired Alaska and Mongolia as partners since 2003. A2AT gives each of our different components the opportunity to learn best practices from each other. For Alaska Guardsmen, it's an opportunity to participate in missions outside of their country, outside of their state, that ties directly into their career skills training. Alaska and Mongolia first participated in A2AT in Hawaii in March 2019. And I had never heard of that until this past week. So I've been not following Mongolia quite as closely as I thought I had been. Okay, Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. So what's up in that regard? From SciTech Daily, MIT engineers create the impossible, new material that is stronger than steel and as light as plastic. The new material is a two-dimensional polymer that self-assembles into sheets, unlike all other polymers which form one-dimensional spaghetti-like chains. Until now, scientists had believed it was impossible to induce polymers to form 2D sheets. Such a material could be used as a lightweight, durable coating for car parts or cell phones, or as a building material for bridges or other structures. We don't usually think of plastics as being something that you could use to support a building, but with this material, you can enable new things. It has a very unusual property, and we're very excited about that. Polymers, which include all plastics, consist of chains of building blocks called monomers. These chains grow by adding new molecules onto their ends. Once formed, polymers can be shaped into three-dimensional objects, such as water bottles, using injection molding. Polymer scientists have long hypothesized that if polymers could be induced to grow into a two-dimensional sheet, they should form extremely strong, lightweight materials. However, many decades of work in this field led to the conclusion that it was impossible to create such sheets. One reason for this was that if just one monomer rotates up or down out of the plane of the growing sheet, the material will begin expanding in three dimensions and the sheet-like structure will be lost. However, in the new study, Strano and his colleagues came up with a new polymerization process that allows them to generate a two-dimensional sheet called a polyaramide. For the monomer building blocks, they use a compound called melamine, which contains a ring of carbon and nitrogen atoms. Under the right conditions, these monomers can grow into two dimensions, forming discs. These discs stack on top of each other, held together by hydrogen bonds between the layers, which make the structure very strong and stable. Because the material self-assembles in solution, it can be made in large quantities by simply increasing the quantity of the starting material. The researchers showed that they could coat surfaces with films of the material, which they call 2DPA1. The researchers found that the new material's elastic modulus, a measure of how much force it takes to deform a material, is between 4 and 6 times greater than that of bulletproof glass. They also found that it yields strength, or how much force it takes to break the material, is twice that of steel, even though the material has only about 1/6 the density of steel. So you could actually make something for a cell phone that'll keep that thing almost indestructible, etc. This has unlimited possibilities, and if they can mass produce this, it could change everything. Very, very interesting. It's what?
Can they use it to cook?
He wants to know if they can use it to cook. I don't know. All I know is never use Teflon coated, these things, the women, the pans, the skid-free things, never use them around birds. If you own a bird, you'll kill your bird if you do that. So no Teflon-coated stuff if you own a bird, like a African gray or a parakeet or whatever. Take care of your birds. No Teflon-coated. But I don't know the answer to that. Okay. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the Book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's going. Okay, from the AP. I don't know if any of you have heard of this. I saw one article, nothing else on this, and it's very, very, very crisis possible. U.S. military faces crisis in Hawaii after leak poisons water. Did anybody read this? I saw one article on this.
The Navy.
Yeah. A giant U.S. government fuel storage installation inside a mountain ridge overlooking Pearl Harbor has provided fuel to military ships and planes crisscrossing the Pacific Ocean since World War II. Its very existence was a secret for years. Even after it was declassified, few people paid attention. Until last year, when jet fuel leaked into a drinking water well. showed up in tap water and sickened thousands in military housing. I had never even heard of this. Now the Navy is scrambling to contain what one U.S. lawmaker calls a crisis of astronomical proportions. Native Hawaiians, veterans, liberals, of course, and conservatives across Hawaii are all pushing to shut down the tanks, even though the Navy says they're vital to national security. Military medical teams have examined more than 5,900 people complaining of symptoms including nausea, headaches, and rashes. The military has moved about 4,000 mostly military families into hotels and has flown in water treatment systems from the U.S. mainland. In the first 6 weeks since the water crisis emerged, the Navy spent more than $250 million addressing the public health emergency. Frankly, it's been a bit of a nightmare and a disaster. The military built the Red Hill Bulk Fuel Storage Facility in the early 1940s by excavating caverns within the mountain ridge to protect 20 fuel tanks from aerial attacks. Listen to how big these are. Each tank, there's 20 of them, each tank is about the height of a 25-story building and can hold 12.5 million gallons. The tanks are connected to underground pipelines that send fuel about 2.5 miles to Pearl Harbor and to ships and planes used by the Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, Marines, and Navy. The Navy hasn't determined how petroleum got into the water. Officials are investigating a theory that jet fuel spilled from a ruptured pipe last May and somehow entered a fire suppressant system drain pipe. They suspect fuel then leaked from the second pipe on November 20th, sending it into the drinking water well. Within a week, military families started complaining about health problems. That is serious. That's not just serious, ecologically, but it's also national security. That runs the entire Pacific Navy. We'll see where that goes. You need some polymers in there. That'll help keep it all together. Morality is declining. Here's some news on that from Fox News. Schools across America implement BLM. This just ended, but implement BLM week of action that calls for disruption of Western nuclear family. I've been saying this for years now, and now they're openly saying it. It's the nuclear family that is the force behind the United States of America. And as soon as they get in there and they destroy that, we've seen what it does in the projects. There are no nuclear families there because if they get married, they lose all the benefits. And so they live together or they just come and spend time together, but there are no nuclear families in the projects. You will not find any, okay? Because if you are married, you don't get your benefits, okay? You have to be single and have a lot of kids and you keep getting money, but if you get married, they cut all that out. So this is what they've been trying to do, and I've been saying this for years, but now they're actively in schools saying to do this. Schools across America are implementing the Black Lives Matter at School Week of Action curriculum that calls for the disruption of Western nuclear family dynamics. According to the Week of Action starter kit published on the Black Lives Matter at School website, the group has a list of four national demands that include funding counselors, not cops, and mandating black history and ethnic studies in classrooms. Additionally, the Week of Action curriculum centers itself on the 13 Black Lives Matter guiding principles. They're Marxists. They want Marxism in our schools, which they already have, which include concepts such as black villages and globalism. Black villages is the disruption of Western nuclear family dynamics and return to the collective village that takes care of each other. Sounds like Hillary Clinton. And the starter kit reads, globalism is our ability to see how we are impacted or privileged within the black global family that exists across the world in different regions. This is about as thick as it gets. Right there.
Wait, why are they only focusing on one race?
I'm asked this by somebody that is not a white guy. I wonder that.
Right?
Why are they focusing on only one race? Why don't we get you guys involved in that? That's right. I got another. What do you think about that, ma'am? She's shaking her head, my little wife. She'll never say anything out loud. She's very quiet, but she is not a white person. Okay, I can tell you that. Okay, from GB News. This is in the UK. We have Boy Scouts over there. They have Beaver Scouts. Yes, you got that. Very good. All of you said that. Okay. Beaver Scouts as young as six are quizzed on their gender in a census. Yeah. Youngsters in the 11 to 12-year-old groups are now being asked to specify their gender rather than their biological sex in a yearly census of its members. The options include male, female, I self-identify, or I prefer not to say. The move has prompted fury from parents who claim it is bonkers that children are being forced to specify their gender. And yes, that is bonkers. All right. We got some other news from around the world, and before we get into that, I'd like to remind you all to be sure to check out the Superior Word Sermon. Start in Genesis 1:1. You can catch up in about 10 years to today's Deuteronomy 31:9-13, okay? Or you can watch 10 a day, and you'll be caught up in, well, 1 year. Yeah, thank you. 10 divided by 10 is, okay, whatever. Okay. From the Epoch Times, DOJ evaluating opening safe injection sites. I know you've heard this, but if you haven't heard this, I'm just going to read you the oh, somebody hasn't heard this. DOJ evaluating opening safe injection sites for heroin use, other illicit substances. An HHS spokesman said that these kits will provide pipes for users to smoke crack cocaine, crystal methamphetamine, and any illicit substance. This is the U.S. government, DOJ, funding this. Okay, it hasn't worked in L.A., it hasn't worked in Seattle, it hasn't worked anywhere they've ever done this, but it'll work when the U.S. government gets its hands in it. Yeah, applications will begin in May with a focus on undeserved communities, including African Americans and LGBTQ plus persons. Ridiculous. Okay, from Newsmax. AG, I don't know if you've heard this. This is a really important decision, and I hope that the Arizona governor will work with it. Has anybody heard what the AG in Arizona decided? Okay, Newsmax. AG Brnovich. Arizona can legally declare invasion, defend self under Constitution. The crisis at the southern border represents an invasion, and the U.S. Constitution therefore gives the state of Arizona the authority to defend itself, the state's attorney general says in an opinion issued Monday. Now, I would say that if that's true, then any state can make the same claim, and we can start blowing those planes out of the sky that are being invaded into our territory. Okay, I know they won't do that, but I would argue that it would be legal. We're being invaded. Yes! All right, the violence and lawlessness at the border caused by transnational cartels and gangs satisfies the definition of an invasion under the U.S. Constitution. And Arizona, therefore, has the power to defend itself from this invasion under the governor's authority as commander-in-chief, Attorney General Mark Brnovich writes. An actual invasion permits the state to engage in defensive actions within its own territory at or near its border. According to Brnovich, the Constitution's definition of invasion applies not only to hostile foreign states, but also to hostile non-state actors. Well, we know that from the Barbary Pirates years and years ago. They weren't a sovereign state, but they were out there causing us trouble, and we went in and took care of the troublemakers. Anyway, who's a Marine in here? Anybody? You were a Marine, weren't you, Roy?
No.
No, you weren't.
Army.
Okay, you both are Army. You can go talk later. Yeah, the Marines worked for you because he was Navy. Anyway, they got the thing about the shores of Tripoli. Well, that's what that's talking about. Okay, we'll go on. The on-the-ground violence and lawlessness at Arizona's border caused by cartels and gangs is extensive, well-documented, and persistent. It can satisfy the definition of actually invaded and invasion under the U.S. Constitution, he writes. No state should be put into the position that Arizona and other border states have been put in through the federal government's recent actions, Brnovich added, alluding to stolen President Biden overturning the border policies of President Trump on his first day in office. Furthermore, the commonly understood meaning at the time of the word invade comes the activities of the transnational cartels and gangs at the border. They enter Arizona in a hostile manner. They enter as an enemy with a view to plunder. They attack, assail, and assault, and they infringe, encroach on, and violate Arizona. That said, it is the choice of Governor Doug Ducey, also a Republican, whether to use those powers. GOP state lawmakers and former officials in the Trump admin, including the former Office of Management and Budget Director Russ Vogt and former acting deputy DHS Secretary Ken Cuccinelli, have urged Ducey to use war powers to push back on the increasing number of migrants at the border, presumably with Arizona police or National Guard units. Cuccinelli called Brnovich's move a big deal, telling Fox he and others now call on Ducey to act. It's not enough for states like Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California to complain about Joe Biden's failure to do his job. They have the authority to protect themselves, he said. Good stuff. Okay, Fox News. Black Republican Virginia delegate says Black caucus rejected him. A Black Republican in the Virginia General Assembly said he was barred. Yeah, racist. Said he was barred from joining the Assembly's Black Caucus. This isn't the first time this has happened, but it's probably, you know, new to this guy. It really did offend me. It was a spit in the face. This says to me that I'm not black enough to be in the Black Caucus, and that's an insult. And I can tell you, he is very, very dark-skinned. So I don't know what Black Caucus means if it doesn't mean people that have very, very dark skin. But apparently it doesn't mean that. Yeah, liberal. That's what I knew that. I was waiting for somebody to say that. Okay. My thought is that the Black Caucus has nothing to do with being black. Okay, from the Gateway Pundit. More on today's bogus job numbers from the BLS. Did you hear the job numbers were great? Okay, I'm gonna let you hear why they were so great. There's never been a January seasonal adjustment of this magnitude. February 4th is when this came out. Today's job numbers are as shocking as Biden's win in the 2020 election. Meaning, they're garbage. First, look at just the December to January change. We find that while the seasonally adjusted numbers rose by an impressive 467,000, the unadjusted number collapsed, tumbling from 150 million to 147 million, a 2.8 million drop, as it tends to do every time the year shifts from December to January, meaning that the entire delta in the January number, somewhere in the 3-plus million range, is due to arbitrary adjustments overlaid on top of the data. Focusing on just 2021, we find something curious. The stunning print from the summer, which saw June and July print at over 1 million, had been slashed by almost 50% at the expense of most recent months, such that October added 29,000, November added 398,000, and December added 311,000 jobs to what was the original print only as a result of seasonal adjustments. Said otherwise, March through July was revised lower by 1,061,000, while August-December was revised up by 817,000. There's never been a January seasonal adjustment of this magnitude. The overall theme is that the BLS apparently is now saying that they way overstated jobs this past summer and decided to move those overstatements to January. We saw a similar approach taken by the Bureau of Economic Analysis to the GDP in 2018. President Trump's numbers were too good, so the BEA reduced Trump's numbers in 2017 and redistributed the increase in GDP to the Obama years. The individuals running all these government agencies need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law for falsifying information that is so central to the lives of Americans, if this is indeed the case. And they have all the figures to prove that it is. Casual observations indicate that something very dishonest is going on.
Shocking.
It's a 4 a.m. data dump. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Data dump. Ugh. From Weasel.
Data readjustment.
Yes, this is a data readjustment. Your son got that correct. It's just readjusting. Okay, Weasel Zippers. Democrat Chicago Mayor Lightfoot blames remote learning for increasing carjackings.
Don't you get it? They're doing it wirelessly.
They're doing it wirelessly. Yeah, that's it. Unbelievable. Okay, who said it? I don't expect you'll get this, but if you do, you'll get a flight on this YF-22. Love your country, but never trust its government.
Amen.
No? Robert Heinlein. I knew you wouldn't get that because I've never heard of him, but it's a great quote. Love your country, but never trust its government. Okay, I got a Lesterick here for you. Arizona can rightly defend against those that would care to upend. Constitution says so. Loose the troops against the foe, says the meant, M-E-N-T for amendment, says the meant that was meant to amend. Okay, we have a bit of irony here for you today. Breitbart, North Korea to temporarily lead UN disarmament conference. Yes. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.